All right, get ready, because today we're diving deep into the world of open source intelligence.
OSINT?
Yeah, OSINT, for short.
Mm-hmm.
And forget, like, you know, all that spy stuff with, like, trench coats and secret missions and whatnot.
Right.
We're talking about information that's just out there, publicly available for anyone to find.
Absolutely.
Think about social media posts, websites, public records.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, all those digital breadcrumbs we leave behind every single day without even thinking about it.
It's incredible how much is out there.
It really is, and it's used in so many fields.
Yeah, that's what's fascinating about OSINT.
Yeah.
You have cybersecurity folks using it to, like, anticipate threats and stay ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, investigators use it to track down leads, put the pieces together.
Yeah.
But even everyday people like you and me, we might use OSINT without even realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, researching a company before a job interview,
right,
or trying to get a better understanding of a news story, getting the full picture.
It's amazing how much information is out there, but it can be pretty overwhelming to know where to even start.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah, you can get lost in the data very easily.
Exactly. And that's where the OSINT framework comes in.
Right, the OSINT framework.
So tell me about this framework. How does it help us navigate this giant sea of information?
Okay, so imagine the OSINT framework as a roadmap for this huge digital landscape, right?
Okay.
It basically organizes all the tools and techniques you might need into specific categories.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just, like, randomly searching and getting lost, you can be much more efficient and effective in finding what you need.
So it's like having a guidebook for becoming a digital detective. That's kind of cool.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
So instead of just endlessly scrolling and sifting through search results, this framework gives us a structured approach.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the benefits of using this framework?
Well, first of all, it can really speed up your research, which is huge, especially in time-sensitive situations.
Like cybersecurity, where every second counts.
Mm.
Instead of randomly searching, you can zero in on specific categories and tools that are super relevant to your needs.
I see. So it's like having a specialized toolkit.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Like, imagine a company is facing a potential phishing attack.
Oh, yeah.
Using the framework, their security team could quickly figure out where the attack is coming from,
mm-hmm,
you know, identify the source, and then take steps to prevent any real damage.
That's a really powerful example of how OSINT can be used proactively.
Right.
It's not just about reacting to threats. It's about getting ahead of them, anticipating them.
Absolutely. And that's a crucial aspect of OSINT.
I'm starting to see how valuable this could be, and not just for, you know, cybersecurity experts.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, let's say you're a journalist working on a story. How could they use the framework?
Oh, in so many ways. You could use it to, let's say, verify the authenticity of a photo or a video,
mm-hmm,
track
mm-hmm
down witnesses on social media,
right,
even uncover hidden connections between people or organizations.
Well, it's all about adding depth and context to your research, going beyond the surface.
It's like having a superpower for research.
Yeah, I like that.
You can see beyond what's immediately visible and connect those seemingly unrelated dots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm totally hooked. Let's break this down a bit.
Okay.
What are some of the specific categories within this OSINT framework, especially for someone who's just starting out?
All right. So one that I think always grabs people's attention is username and email address search.
Oh, interesting.
You can use this to trace individuals across multiple platforms.
Like find their different accounts, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And uncover potential aliases or connections they might be trying to hide.
It's amazing how much can be linked to just an email address.
Yeah, it's like a digital fingerprint.
It reminds me of those investigative podcasts, you know, where they start with just a burner phone number.
Right.
And then they unravel this whole criminal network. It's fascinating.
Absolutely. The connections are incredible.
Okay. What else? What other categories?
Mm-hmm. Another one that's really compelling is domain, IP, and MMAS address information.
Okay, now those sound a bit technical.
Yeah, they might sound that way, but they can reveal a lot about websites and individuals.
I see.
Like, imagine you're looking into a suspicious website, right?
Mm.
You could use tools from this category to trace the website's IP address to its physical server location.
Oh, wow.
And maybe, you know, uncover a link to a known cybercrime organization.
So it's like peeling back the layers of the internet, seeing those hidden connections.
Exactly, yeah. Revealing the patterns that would otherwise be invisible.
What about multimedia analysis? That one sounds really intriguing.
Oh, that's where it gets really interesting.
Okay, tell me more.
So this is all about dissecting images, videos, documents, looking for clues, hidden details.
Oh, I see.
Think about a viral video, right? Claiming to show someone doing something controversial.
Yeah, like a politician or something.
Exactly. You could use a tool, let's say InVid, to analyze the video's metadata.
Metadata. That's like the information embedded within the file itself.
Right. And you might discover that it was edited or manipulated.
That's incredible. So you can actually expose fake videos.
In many cases, yeah, the metadata can be a game changer.
So it's not just about what we see. It's about what's hidden beneath the surface.
Exactly. And that's where OSINT can be really powerful.
Okay. What else have we got?
Right. So social media and networking, that's another goldmine of information.
Oh, yeah. I could see how that would be valuable.
This category focuses on gathering data from platforms like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the usual suspects. Mm. You can use this to understand someone's online behavior, their patterns, you know, identify key influencers in a certain field, or even track how misinformation spreads during, let's say, a crisis.
Social media is such a force these days.
It really is.
It's amazing how much people willingly share online, often without realizing the potential consequences.
That's true. And it's a double-edged sword, right? Mm-hmm. We need to be mindful of our own digital footprint.
Right. But for researchers and investigators, it's an incredible resource.
And then there's public and government records. That sounds like a treasure trove of information.
It is. This category covers everything from property records and court filings.
Wow.
To voter registration data and corporate financial reports. It's a lot.
So it's basically a digital window into the past.
Yeah, you can uncover the history of a place or a person.
It's like having access to a secret archive.
Well, not so secret. It's all publicly available, but you need to know where to look.
Right, and that's where the framework comes in.
Exactly. It guides you to the right resources.
Okay, this is already giving me so many ideas. What else stands out to you?
Let's see. Geolocation and transportation, that one is particularly fascinating.
Why is that?
This is all about understanding movement and physical location based on digital information.
Wait, are you saying you can track someone's movements just from their online activity?
In many cases, yes. It's about connecting the dots.
How is that even possible?
Think about it. Let's say authorities are trying to find a missing person.
Okay.
They could analyze social media posts, check-ins, even photos and videos for GPS coordinates.
Wow.
And that could potentially reveal the person's last known location.
That's incredible, but also a bit unsettling, you know? It makes you realize how much information we're constantly sharing without even thinking about it.
Absolutely. The power of OSINT comes with the responsibility to use it ethically and respectfully.
I can definitely see how that's a crucial consideration.
Yeah.
But before we get into the ethical implications, I'm curious about one more category: forums, archives, and language tools. What's so special about those?
So these are all about expanding the scope of your research, going beyond the usual sources, forums, and online archives. They can be gold mines of information.
I see.
Especially if you're looking for niche communities or historical data, things that might not be easily accessible through traditional search engines.
It's like digital archaeology digging through the layers of the internet.
Precisely. And language tools are essential for breaking down those language barriers.
Right. The internet is a global phenomenon.
Exactly. Imagine you're researching a company that operates in multiple countries.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to translate their websites, news articles, that kind of thing, opens up a whole new world of insights.
It's like having a universal translator for the internet.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
So the OSINT framework empowers you to explore the digital world in ways you never thought possible, regardless of language or geography.
Absolutely. But remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
That's right. We need to talk about the ethical considerations of using these tools.
Yeah, that's a crucial conversation.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've been talking about all these amazing tools and techniques for uncovering information.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get too carried away with our digital detective hats, I think it's important to address the elephant in the room.
Yeah, the ethical considerations. Absolutely. The power of OSINT comes with a responsibility to use it ethically and legally.
Right, it's not just a free-for-all.
No, not at all.
So what are some of the ethical boundaries we need to be aware of when using the OSINT framework?
Well, one of the biggest concerns is privacy.
Right. That makes sense.
Just because information is publicly available doesn't mean it's fair game to collect and use it however we want.
Yeah, we have to consider the implications.
Exactly. Imagine finding someone's home address online.
Oh, yeah.
It's important to remember that this information should be treated with respect
mm-hmm.
and not used for any malicious purposes.
Right. It's not an invitation to show up on their doorstep unannounced.
Exactly. There's a big difference between curiosity and intrusion.
Absolutely.
And it's not just about respecting individual privacy either.
Right.
We also need to be mindful of the potential impact on groups and communities.
I see.
Imagine using OSINT to gather information about a particular religious group or ethnic minority.
Okay.
It's crucial to avoid perpetuating stereotypes or biases based on the information we find.
That's a really important point. OSINT should be used to promote understanding,
right,
not to reinforce harmful stereotypes.
Absolutely.
Okay. What other ethical considerations should we be thinking about?
Well, another big one is the potential for harm.
Mm.
While OSINT can be used for good, it can also be misused for
right.
malicious purposes like stalking, harassment, even identity theft.
It's a powerful tool that can be used in the wrong way.
Exactly. So it's essential to be aware of these risks and use these tools responsibly.
So it's not just about what we do with the information,
mm.
but also about our intentions behind gathering it in the first place.
Precisely.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then there's the issue of accuracy.
Right. Just because something is online doesn't mean it's true.
Exactly. Just because it's publicly available doesn't mean it's true or reliable.
Right.
We need to be critical thinkers, verify our sources, and be wary of misinformation and disinformation.
It's like anything else on the internet. Approach it with a healthy dose of skepticism. Okay, and finally, what about the legal side of things?
Yeah, good point.
Are there any legal implications we need to be aware of?
Definitely. While OSINT relies on publicly available information, there are still laws that govern data privacy and how that information can be used.
So it's not a complete free-for-all.
No, there are rules and boundaries we need to respect.
Right. So the OSINT framework is a powerful tool, but it's crucial to use it ethically, responsibly, and within the bounds of the law.
Absolutely. That's the bottom line.
Okay. I'm definitely feeling the weight of responsibility here.
Yeah, it's important to take it seriously.
But I also feel empowered, like I have a better understanding of these tools and techniques, as well as the ethical considerations that come with them.
That's great to hear.
So with that in mind, let's revisit some of these categories within the framework and explore some real-world examples of how they can be used ethically and effectively.
Sounds good. Let's dive in.
All right, let's start with username and email address search. How can this be used ethically in investigations?
Well, this category can be really helpful for investigators trying to track down individuals who are using aliases.
I see.
Or trying to hide their online activity.
So like in a case where someone is suspected of cybercrime.
Right.
And they're using multiple fake accounts to cover their tracks.
Exactly. Investigators could use these tools to connect those seemingly separate accounts.
Oh, wow.
And build a more complete picture of the suspect's online activity.
That's fascinating. It's like piecing together a puzzle.
Yeah, exactly. Each username or email address is a clue.
Okay, that makes sense. What about domain, IP, and MASP address information?
All right, so this category can be incredibly valuable for cybersecurity professionals who are trying to understand the origins of a cyber attack.
So, for example, if a company's website is targeted by a DDoS attack,
right,
they could use these tools to trace the source of the attack.
Exactly. They could use the IP address of the attacking servers to track down the hosting provider and work with law enforcement to shut it down.
That's incredible. It's like having a digital forensics team at your fingertips.
It's pretty powerful stuff.
Okay, what about multimedia analysis?
So this is a powerful tool for verifying the authenticity of images and videos and debunking fake news, which is a huge problem these days.
Yeah, I'm thinking about all the manipulated videos and images that circulate online.
Right, especially during elections or major news events.
Exactly.
Journalists and fact checkers can use these tools to analyze the metadata of images and videos to determine their origin and whether they've been altered.
So, for example, if a video claims to show a politician making a controversial statement,
right,
they could check the metadata to see if the video has been edited.
Exactly. Or if it's even from the time period it claims to be from.
Wow, that's so important, especially with how quickly misinformation can spread online.
Absolutely. It's crucial to be able to verify the authenticity of what we see.
Okay, what about social media and networking?
So this category is a valuable resource for understanding public opinion and sentiment.
I'm thinking about companies using social media monitoring tools to track how people are responding to their products or marketing campaigns.
Exactly. They can use these tools to identify trends in customer feedback and adjust their strategies accordingly.
And they could also use it to identify potential PR crises before they escalate.
Absolutely. They can monitor social media for mentions of their brand and address any negative feedback quickly and effectively.
This is making me realize just how versatile OSINT is.
Yeah, it really is.
It's not just about uncovering secrets or catching criminals.
Right.
It's a tool that can be used for a wide range of purposes.
Absolutely. It all depends on your goals and the information you're trying to uncover.
Okay, so we've explored several categories within the OSINT framework and seen how they can be used in real-world scenarios.
Yeah, I've covered a lot of ground.
Now I'm curious about the category public and government records. What kind of ethical considerations come into play when using these types of records?
That's a great question. Public and government records can be incredibly valuable for research and investigations.
Right.
But it's crucial to use them responsibly and ethically.
Absolutely.
One of the main concerns is privacy.
Okay.
These records often contain sensitive personal information.
Right, like addresses, phone numbers, financial data.
Exactly, even medical records in some cases.
So it's important to be mindful of the individual's right to privacy. And to avoid using this information for any purpose other than the intended use.
Absolutely. For example, if you're using public records to research a company for a potential investment, it's important to focus on the company's financial performance and business practices and to avoid accessing or sharing any personal information about the company's employees.
That makes sense. We should treat this information with the same level of care and respect as we would want our own personal information to be treated.
Exactly. The golden rule applies here, too.
Okay. What else should we be aware of?
Another ethical consideration is accuracy.
Right. Just because it's a public record doesn't mean it's perfect.
Exactly. Public and government records are generally considered to be reliable, but errors can occur and information can become outdated.
Yeah, that's true.
It's important to verify the information we find and to avoid making assumptions based on incomplete or inaccurate data.
So, for example, if we're using court records to research a legal case, we shouldn't assume that the information in those records is the complete and unbiased truth.
Exactly. We should always seek out multiple sources and perspectives
to get a more balanced view.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's a good point. What about the potential for harm?
Yeah, that's a big one. This information can be misused to harass, stalk, or even blackmail individuals.
That's a sobering thought.
It is. It highlights the importance of ethical awareness and responsible use.
Absolutely.
It's crucial to use these records responsibly and to avoid sharing sensitive information with unauthorized parties.
Okay, so we've covered the importance of privacy, accuracy, and avoiding harm when using public and government records.
Those are some of the key ethical considerations.
Are there any other ethical considerations specific to this category that we should be aware of?
Yeah. One more to keep in mind is the potential for bias.
Okay, how so?
Public and government records can reflect societal biases and systemic inequalities.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
It's important to be aware of these biases and to avoid perpetuating them in our research or investigations.
Can you give me an example of that?
Sure. For example, if we're using crime statistics to research crime rates in a particular neighborhood, we need to be aware of the potential for racial bias in policing practices, which can skew the data.
That's an excellent point. We need to be critical thinkers.
Absolutely.
And consider the broader context.
Exactly.
When interpreting information from public and government records.
It's not always as straightforward as it seems.
Okay, so we've talked about several ethical considerations related to using public and government records. Now, I'm curious about the category geolocation and transportation.
Okay.
What are some of the ethical challenges associated with using these tools and techniques?
Well, geolocation and transportation tools can be incredibly powerful, allowing us to track movements and understand physical locations.
Right, based on digital information.
Exactly. But this power comes with a responsibility.
Absolutely.
To use these tools ethically and legally.
One obvious concern is privacy. It feels like a violation to track someone's movements without their consent.
Right, especially if they're not even aware that they're being tracked.
Exactly. It's essential to respect individual privacy.
Absolutely.
And to avoid using geolocation tools for any purpose other than the intended use.
Right. For example, if you're using geolocation data to track the spread of a disease,
okay.
it's important to anonymize the data and to obtain informed consent.
Right, from the individuals whose data is being used.
Exactly.
It's not okay to use someone's location data to stalk them.
Absolutely not.
Or to target them with unwanted advertising.
That's a clear violation of privacy.
Okay, what other challenges should we be aware of?
Another ethical challenge is the potential for misuse.
Mm-hmm.
Geolocation data can be used to target individuals for harassment,
right.
discrimination, or even violence.
That's a scary thought.
It is. It's crucial to be aware of these risks.
Absolutely.
And to use these tools responsibly.
Can you give me an example of how this could happen?
Sure. Let's say you're using geolocation data to identify individuals
okay.
who attended a particular protest.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be mindful of the potential consequences for those individuals.
Right, especially if they live in a country where protesting is illegal or dangerous.
Exactly. Their safety could be at risk.
Okay, that's a serious consideration. What about the accuracy of geolocation data?
Yeah, that's another important point. Geolocation data is not always perfect.
Mm.
GPS signals can be inaccurate.
Right.
And devices can be spoofed or tampered with.
So we can't always rely on it completely.
Exactly. It's important to be aware of these limitations
mm-hmm.
and to avoid making assumptions based on inaccurate or incomplete data.
Hmm. So, for example, if we're using geolocation data to track the movements of a suspect in
right.
a criminal investigation,
mm-hmm.
we need to be aware that the data might not be 100% accurate.
Exactly.
And we shouldn't rely on it as the sole basis for our conclusions.
Right. We should always seek out corroborating evidence
mm-hmm.
and be open to the possibility that the geolocation data might be flawed.
Okay. That's good advice. So we've covered privacy, misuse, and accuracy.
Mm.
Are there any other ethical challenges related to geolocation that we should be aware of?
One additional challenge is the potential for surveillance.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Geolocation data can be used by governments and corporations
mm-hmm.
to track individuals on a massive scale. It feels like we're living in a world where our every move is being tracked and monitored.
It's definitely a concern. It raises questions about civil liberties and the right to privacy.
It's a bit unsettling to think about.
It is. It's important to stay informed about how geolocation data is being collected and used
mm-hmm.
and to advocate for policies that protect our privacy.
Okay, so we've talked about several ethical challenges associated with using geolocation and transportation tools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm curious about the category forums, archives, and language tools.
Right.
What kind of ethical considerations come into play when using these resources?
Well, forums, archives, and language tools can be incredibly valuable resources
mm-hmm.
for researchers, journalists, and anyone who wants to understand different perspectives and cultures.
Absolutely. They offer a wealth of information.
They do, but it's crucial to use these tools ethically and respectfully.
Of course, just like with any other OSINT technique.
Exactly. One of the main concerns is cultural sensitivity.
Okay. I can see how that would be important.
When accessing forums or archives from other cultures,
mm-hmm.
it's important to be aware of cultural norms and values.
Right. Different cultures have different ways of communicating and interacting.
Exactly. And we need to be respectful of those differences.
And avoid making assumptions or judgments based on our own limited perspectives.
Absolutely. For example, if we're reading a forum discussion
okay.
from a country with a different political system,
mm.
we shouldn't assume that the participants' views represent the views of the entire population.
That's a good point.
We need to be mindful of the diversity of opinions within any given culture.
Absolutely. It's important to avoid overgeneralizations.
Exactly. And we also need to be aware of the potential for language barriers.
Right. Even with translation tools available.
Mm-hmm. It's important to remember that nuances and cultural context can be lost in translation.
That makes sense. Things don't always translate perfectly.
They don't. It's always best to consult with experts or native speakers whenever possible.
To ensure that we're interpreting the information accurately.
Exactly. It's about being thorough and respectful.
Okay, what other ethical considerations are relevant here?
Another one is privacy. When accessing online forums or archives,
right.
it's important to respect the privacy of the individuals who created those resources.
So we should avoid sharing any personal information.
Absolutely, or identifying information without consent.
And we should be mindful of the potential impact of our research.
Mm-hmm.
on the individuals involved.
Right. For example, if we're using a forum discussion to research a sensitive topic.
Okay, like mental health or addiction.
Exactly. We should avoid sharing any identifying information about the participants or making any judgments about their experiences.
That's important. We need to be sensitive to the fact that these are real people.
Absolutely. And their privacy deserves to be protected.
Okay, so we've talked about cultural sensitivity and privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other ethical considerations we should be aware of when using forums, archives, and language tools?
Yes. We also need to be aware of the potential for harm.
Okay. In what way?
When accessing online forums or archives, it's important to be mindful of the content we're consuming.
Right. Not everything online is appropriate or safe to share.
Exactly. And we should avoid sharing any content that could be harmful or offensive.
So, for example, if we come across content that is hateful, discriminatory, or violent,
right,
we should avoid sharing it.
Mm.
And we should report it to the appropriate authorities.
Exactly. It's our responsibility to help keep the online world safe.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've talked about cultural sensitivity, privacy, and avoiding harm.
Mm.
Are there any other ethical considerations related to forums, archives, and language tools that we should be aware of?
One additional consideration is the potential for bias.
Okay, I can see how that could be an issue.
Online forums and archives can reflect the biases of the individuals who created them.
Right, they might not represent a balanced or objective viewpoint.
Exactly, so it's important to be aware of these biases and to avoid perpetuating them in our research or investigations.
So, for example, if we're using a forum discussion to research a controversial topic, we need to be aware that the participants in that discussion might not represent a diverse range of perspectives.
Exactly. We should always seek out multiple sources and perspectives.
To get a more balanced view of the issue.
Absolutely. It's about being critical and discerning.
Okay. That's a good point. What about the limitations of language tools?
Yeah, that's another important consideration. While translation tools can be helpful, they're not perfect.
Right. They can make mistakes.
They can. And they can sometimes introduce errors or misinterpretations.
So we should be cautious when using them.
Exactly. It's important to use these tools with caution and to verify the accuracy of the translations whenever possible.
That's a great point. It highlights the importance of critical thinking and source evaluation.
Absolutely. Those skills are essential for anyone doing OSINT work.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have. It's been a thorough discussion.
Exploring the ethical considerations of using various categories within the OSINT framework. I'm starting to see how crucial it is to approach OSINT with a strong ethical compass.
Absolutely. Ethics should be at the forefront of every OSINT investigation.
And a commitment to responsible use.
It's not just about finding the information.
Right.
It's about using that information in a way that is ethical, legal, and respectful.
Of individual privacy and community value.
Exactly. Those considerations should always guide our actions.
Well said. And I think that's a great place to wrap up part two of our deep dive into the OSINT framework. We've covered a lot of information, but there's still more to explore.
Indeed. In part three, we'll delve into some practical tips for conducting OSINT investigations safely and ethically.
Sounds good.
We'll also discuss some of the challenges and opportunities facing the OSINT community in today's rapidly evolving digital landscape.
So stay tuned for part three,
where we'll continue our exploration of the fascinating world of OSINT.
Okay, so we've gone through the ins and outs of the OSINT framework, you know, from uncovering those hidden connections to talking about those really important ethical considerations.
Yeah, it's a lot to consider.
It is, but now I want to get practical.
Okay.
You know, for someone listening who's thinking, I'm ready to start my own OSINT journey, where do they even begin?
Well, I think the key is to start small.
Okay.
Build your skills gradually and think about what really interests you.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe it's cybersecurity
or
investigative journalism, or maybe even just learning more about your local history.
Yeah, find that passion point.
Exactly. Once you have that focus, then you can start exploring the relevant categories within the framework.
I see. So it's all about finding that entry point, something that sparks that curiosity and gives you a direction to explore.
Absolutely.
What are some resources or tools that you recommend for beginners?
Well, there are tons of free resources available online.
Okay, that's good.
Websites, forums, even YouTube channels dedicated to OSINT.
Wow.
One great starting point is the OSINT Framework website itself.
Okay.
It gives you detailed descriptions of each category and then links to recommended tools and resources.
So it's like having a digital library.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great jumping off point.
But with so many options, it can be easy to get lost in that rabbit hole.
Oh, absolutely.
Are there any specific tools that you find particularly helpful or versatile for conducting OSINT investigations?
Well, one tool I recommend to everyone, and it might seem obvious,
is
a good search engine.
Yeah.
Really mastering those advanced search operators and techniques
can
make a huge difference in your OSINT skills.
So it's not just about typing in a keyword?
No, it's about being strategic.
Mm-hmm.
Like using quotation marks to search for exact phrases.
Okay.
Or the cite operator to limit your search to a specific website.
Oh, right. Those can be really helpful.
Yeah, they can save you a lot of time and effort.
Sometimes the most valuable information is hiding in plain sight.
Absolutely. You just need to know how to look for it.
What other tools or strategies do you find essential?
Another crucial skill is source validation.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Just because you find something online doesn't mean it's true.
Right. We've talked about that before.
Exactly. So it's important to corroborate your findings using multiple sources.
Check for biases.
Absolutely.
And verify the information's timeliness.
Yeah. It's like being a journalist.
Right.
Fact-checking your sources before publishing a story.
Exactly. What are some common mistakes that beginners make?
One common mistake is getting overwhelmed by the sheer volume of information.
Hmm. I can see how that would happen.
It's easy to go down those rabbit holes and lose sight of your goal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to have a clear research question and a structured approach.
Break it down into smaller steps.
Exactly. Break it down into manageable steps and keep track of your findings using a spreadsheet or a note-taking tool.
Organization is key.
It really is. You can get lost in the digital weeds if you're not careful.
Now, what about those ethical considerations we discussed earlier?
All right, those are crucial.
How can someone make sure they're conducting these investigations responsibly?
Well, ethics should always be at the forefront of your mind.
Absolutely.
Before you begin any investigation, ask yourself these questions.
Okay.
Is my research legal?
Mm-mm.
Am I respecting the privacy of individuals and communities?
Yeah.
Am I being mindful of potential biases and avoiding harm?
Those are really important questions.
They are. If you can't answer yes to all of those questions, then it's time to reevaluate your approach.
It's like having that moral compass.
Exactly.
Guiding you toward responsible and ethical practices.
Right. And remember, OSINT is a powerful tool.
Mm.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I think that's a good reminder for all of us.
It is.
So, any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Well, just remember that OSINT is a constantly evolving field.
Yeah, that's exciting.
New tools and techniques are emerging all the time.
It's a dynamic field.
It is. So staying curious, experimenting, and connecting with the OSINT community will help you stay ahead of the curve.
It's a journey of continuous learning.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into OSINT.
We have. It's been a fascinating discussion.
What are some key takeaways our listeners should remember?
Well, first and foremost, OSINT is accessible to everyone.
Right. It's not just for experts.
Exactly. Whether you're a security professional, a journalist, or just a curious individual, you have the power to uncover valuable information.
It's about empowering ourselves.
Yeah.
To become more informed and discerning citizens in the digital age.
Absolutely.
What else should we keep in mind?
Secondly, the OSINT framework is your guide.
Mm-hmm. It's that roadmap.
Right. It provides that structured approach
to
navigate that vast digital landscape.
And find the information we need effectively.
Exactly. It helps you stay focused and organized.
And finally, the ethical considerations.
Absolutely. Never underestimate the importance of ethics.
Right.
The power of OSINT comes with that responsibility to use it wisely, respectfully, and legally.
It's about using that power for good.
Exactly. Always prioritize privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Verify your sources and be mindful of potential biases.
Well said. It's not just about what we can find.
Right.
But how we use that information responsibly.
Absolutely. That's the key takeaway.
This has been an incredible journey.
It has.
And I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for the power of OSINT.
It's a fascinating field.
It really is.
With endless possibilities.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of OSINT.
We hope you found it informative and inspiring.
We hope you feel empowered to explore this field responsibly and ethically.
And remember, stay curious, stay informed,
and stay safe in the digital world.
Absolutely.
This is The Deep Dive, signing off.